All right, so last year about this time in September, it was my grandma's last Sunday of her life. Now, her name is Viola. My firstborn, Viola, is named after her. And I remember that Sunday, I knew she didn't have much time left on earth. She was about ready to turn 89 years old. And so I wrote this sermon, and no offense to anybody here, but the primary audience that I was trying to get to was over in Illinois. And I just really wanted my grandma to be able to hear this sermon on the last Sunday of her life. And afterwards, we had technical difficulties that day, and so like it didn't broadcast and it didn't record. So I just remember the next day, I thought, I got to go. I'm going to drive over there and just read it to her. So the last time I got to see my grandma was then, that Monday afterwards. She was getting ready to turn 89 on her birthday, September 22nd. And that would be the last day of her life. But the last time that I saw her was really important. And I remember reading the sermon to her. So word for word, just reading the sermon to her. And she was in a state where she couldn't do a lot. She couldn't open her eyes. She could breathe out some words like Jesus and help. So it didn't seem like she was 100% all there. It was a different version of my grandma. But as I read this sermon, for the most part, she had peace. Except for one part. And I'll tell you that a little bit later, like what happened that day. I'll get back to that. But I want to transition now and talk about the opening of this new series that we're doing. It's called First Things First. Pastor Emily referenced it in the announcements this morning. But the idea behind this is we're really looking for the priorities of the kingdom. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And so we're asking these questions. What are the most important things? What are first? So we're going to look at some of the core teachings that we have, and what is it that the church is really trying to do? So we're going to examine those, ask those questions. And we're starting with a time when Jesus was asked, what is the first or most important commandment? And so we're going to look at this because he does answer, and we're going to look at the answer given in Mark 12, 29 through 31. Because a few of the gospel writers tell us about this story, but it's interesting. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. There is no commandment greater than these." So when Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment? It's interesting to me, because I think some of us would say they're all equally important, right? If you break one, you break another, like just keep them all. But Jesus didn't say that. He actually answered that there is a most important one, and he connected it with another one. And so today we could get into a lot of this, but I especially want to answer what he said first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. All your heart. As I was thinking about that, living wholeheartedly, loving wholeheartedly, like what does that mean? And I was thinking about my grandma because it's been about a year. And I remember when we were in church growing up, sometimes we would have these questions like, what is your favorite Bible verse? And my grandma and I had the same answer, and it was Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, I want to be really careful here because what I'm about to say may be very concerning to some of you. Because I was talking about this verse with a coach, the assistant pastor in Indiana, and I was telling him, like, I'm learning to trust God. And he asked me about it, and I said, he's like, well, what does that mean? You're a pastor, you trust God, right? And I said, well, I stink at it. So it's like, oh, that's kind of concerning. We have somebody who's in ministry who stinks at trusting God. Like, tell me about that, unpack it. And let me, hopefully this sets you at ease a little bit, because like for me, my life, I've decided to follow Jesus. What's most important to me is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, following Jesus. I want to be all in on what it means to be a Christian, to follow Jesus, to be a disciple. It's really important to me to follow the teachings of Christ. and the teachings of the church. And one of the ones that we have is that God is sovereign. And I believe that. I believe that God is sovereign. He's over us. He rules. But for me, I don't think that that means that God controls everything. And we could talk a lot about theology here. And so, like, when something bad happens, my first impulse isn't to say, well, God caused that to happen. It's God's fault. Why? So that's kind of my impulse, is not to think or to blame God, to think that God causes things. But I've looked at, like, as a 45-year-old man who struggles sometimes with what it means to trust God, like, I've looked at, and I think I've identified one of my issues. Because even though a lot of times I don't blame God, I blame myself. And so sometimes I think if things aren't going right, the reason is because I'm doing something wrong. There's something wrong with me. I'm the problem, it's me, right? Hi, I'm the problem, it's me. Everyone agrees, right? Do you agree? No? Okay, good. Thank you, Ann. So, but I think of that. And like, it is appropriate sometimes to blame yourself, because, like, guilt is something in life that we need as humans, because sometimes we do wrong. We hurt other people, and it's appropriate to feel guilty, to ask for forgiveness, to try to reconcile. So that's appropriate. But one of the problems is that it can sometimes be too much about me. If I obsess over my shortcomings, I can make too big a deal out of me. So again, this isn't to say I should never feel guilty, I should never confess wrongdoing, or I should never repent, because repentance and all that is necessary. But some of us have an overactive sense of personal guilt. And that's where I can follow along those lines sometimes. Like, something wrong's happening. It's probably because of something I've done. It's probably because of something wrong. Like, things would be going better if I were doing better in some way. Like, I've let people down. So I have this. And I can sometimes, if you were to go back and read my journal entries from not a long time ago, but over a period of years, and you better not, okay? You better not read anything. I got them hidden. You would see a lot of self-loathing, like times like, I just can't believe I did this wrong, and just like kind of beating myself up over my mistakes or shortcomings or all that. So that's a tendency. But one of the things that I can identify here with this verse is that I am not alone in my shortcomings. In fact, the guy who wrote this was said to be Solomon, and he was pretty terrible a lot of times at trusting in the Lord too. So it's not just pastors or just non-pastors. It's people he even wrote these words down. And if we look at Solomon's life, he really, really struggled to live out these words. Now, Solomon had some reasons, I think, to lean on his own understanding, because he was really gifted. The Lord gave him a brain that was brilliant. And he accomplished so many impressive achievements. Like, his resume is impressive. And he had successes. So you can see why maybe that he decided to trust in his own understanding, because his own understanding was considerable. But one of the problems is that he built his own kingdom. He did it taking advantage of the people around him. He got really self-focused, really preoccupied with his own glory. And he achieved a level of greatness, but to do that, he kind of had to like hate on some of the people around him and overload the people around him with burdens. And as an old man, he was realizing it. A lot of people think that he also wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, which is as him as an old man, like, looking at the different regrets around him. He saw that he had failed to trust the Lord with all of his heart. And he saw some of the meaningless of his own selfish pursuits as he was reflecting on all that he accomplished and how it really was meaningless. It didn't mean quite as much as he hoped. He had, in some ways, he gained the whole world, but he lost touch with his soul and what had really carried him. And despite gaining everything, there was this problem in his soul. And he would learn that despite all that, that it's really not him who made it, but it's the Lord who makes everything beautiful in its time. And that if he would have just trusted in the Lord with all of his heart, things could have gone so much better. So we've been talking about all your heart. Now, this is different. Trust and loving with all your heart are different. Trust and love aren't synonymous, but they're related. And we're focusing on that word, all your heart, this idea of being wholeheartedly all in. So I'm going to go back now to the opening story with my grandma. So I'm reading this sermon to her, and she seems to be at peace until she got agitated at one point. Now, she couldn't use words very well, so it wasn't really clear, but what I think is that she was reacting to what I read in the sermon. And because I was reading a manuscript, I can tell you exactly what I said when she reacted, and it was this. I tend to think that God is disappointed in me. I frequently fall short of my own standards, and surely I fall short of God's standards too. I have a sense that I haven't done enough to be worthy of love. And that provoked her. Now, I wasn't saying that was good that I did it, but that's when she became agitated. And if you knew my grandma, you knew that agitation was her love language. If my mom were here today, like, that's what she got on us. She griped and fussed and no. So in her way, with where she was, it was her way of saying, stop it, Daniel. That's a bunch of nonsense. Just get over that part of your life. Like, just don't. No, stop. Don't go there. And at the start of that day, I had thought that my grandma needed to hear my words of wisdom, my sermon. But what I really learned is I needed to hear from my grandma that day. I needed that loving message wrapped in agitation to come and speak to me, a message that I still remember a year later that still stands out to me. Now, I wish I could say in the last year I've never felt like a disappointment or that I wasn't doing enough, but that belief has been in there way too long for it just to simply disappear. But I will say that I believe it's true. I believe that that's what the Lord was trying to speak to me through my grandma. And it's gaining power in my life. Like, I accept it, and I see it making progress because it helps. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does that mean? Trust, love the Lord your God with all your heart. One of the big problems that we have with wholeheartedness, because it sounds easy, just do it with all your heart. But one of the challenges we had was identified by the prophet Jeremiah, who said in 17:9, these frustrating words, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Sometimes our heart's speaking to us and it's just a message that's deceitful. Like, who can understand it? It's, again, our hearts are easy to deceive. Like, they can deceive us. We can get so mixed up in the messages of our heart, and they can lead us astray. As Jeremiah said, they're hard to understand. The heart is hard to understand. So learning is not easy. Learning how to wholeheartedly trust, how to wholeheartedly love is not easy. And maybe that's why the Proverbs give us this advice too. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wealth from everything that you do flows from it. In Proverbs 4:23. A lot of what we do, it starts with heart. Jesus said something very similar in Luke 6:45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Our hearts are these containers, and they can collect so much, and it can be so confusing for us human beings. It's so hard to understand our hearts. Who can understand it? So I want to ask the question today, what's stored up in your heart? What do you think is in there right now? If you just had some moments here to examine, what is in my heart? Proverbs 14:10 also makes this incredible, insightful statement about the human heart. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. What kind of bitterness is in your heart? What is in there? What kind of maybe frustration? Anger, anxiousness. Is your heart weighed down? Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. What weighs your heart down? What's in your heart? Is your heart wandering? The heart is really complicated. The Lord told us this in his word, that the heart can be really difficult to understand and really complicated. Who can understand it? I mean, I can't. But fortunately, I know someone who can. There's one who knows our hearts. And there's one who's so much stronger than our hearts that we can turn to, who knows our hearts even better than we do. There's a heart surgeon. So today is an invitation with our hearts the way that they are, whatever they're weighed down with, whether it's bitterness, anxiety, whether it's a lot of good right now or evil or whatever it is. But the challenge, the call today is, the invitation is to come and trust the Lord wholeheartedly, to come and love the Lord wholeheartedly with what we have, with who we are, asking the Lord to take our heart and do what the Lord will with it, asking the Holy Spirit to be at work in us. Learning to love and trust the Lord wholeheartedly is a beautiful gift, and it starts with heart. It starts with Christ, the Word who became flesh and made his dwelling among us, the one who gave his life for us so that we can know and trust the Lord and not lean on our own understanding, but on our wholehearted love of God and his love for us. So this morning, if you want to follow Jesus and seek first the kingdom of God, if you want to decide and to give him the heart you have and ask him, Lord, just help me to love and trust you wholeheartedly. That's the invitation this morning. And I want to encourage you to follow through and go ahead and make that decision. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you're good. Who understands our hearts? It's you. I want to pray for all of us human beings who live in this world of ups and downs, of life and death, of good and evil, of just so much that's going on that's complicated. Help us, Lord. I want to pray for all of us here as we sort out our beliefs, as we sort out what matters most, the first things that are first. Lord, we invite you to speak to us. Use the Holy Spirit to be that still, small voice that whispers to us, that invites us to be still and know that you are God. May you speak to us. And I pray for all of us who are making decisions. Help us to make good decisions that will benefit us as we further down the road, so that when we look back, we don't look back like Solomon and say, meaningless, meaningless. Everything was meaningless, the chasing after the wind. But so that we can say, we gave it what we had. And that you can say, well done, good and faithful servant. So Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to fill us. Again, help us to make those decisions. Teach us the joy, the delight, the goodness of learning to love and trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.